Like a Frankenstein monster, the Democrats in Congress have raised the Equal Rights Amendment from the dead. You may not have even heard about this, but there are a lot of very good reasons why you should care. And that's the topic of today's Moral Heritage Podcast. On February 13th, the House of Representatives voted to eliminate the 40-year-old deadline to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, which would, quote-unquote, explicitly provide women with equal rights under the Constitution. It was passed 232 to 183, with five Republicans joining every last Democrat voting in favor of this legislation. There are a whole series of problems with this that you will probably not be reading about in a lot of the media. For example, on CBS News, you can read right now that Virginia last month became the 38th state needed to ratify the amendment. What they do not tell you in that article is that before the deadline passed to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, five states had changed their minds. Idaho, Kentucky, Nebraska, Tennessee, and South Dakota all rescinded their ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. It's actually the first four of them straight out rescinded. What South Dakota said is, you see, the original deadline to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment was in 1979. Congress at that point, recognizing that they just weren't going to get the votes when they needed to, decided to extend the deadline till 1982. South Dakota challenged that. South Dakota said they don't have the ability to change the deadline. Unilaterally, the House of Representatives and the Senate decide we're going to change the rules. No, we said that we were going to ratify it if it passed as of 1979. So on March 1st, 1979, they actually passed, the South Dakota legislature passed a resolution putting an official sunset date of their ratification, March 22nd, 1979, which was the original deadline. So they challenged the idea that Congress could extend the deadline in the first place. So whatever the question is with regards to the legality of that, because in fact, in previous cases, there were states that tried to rescind their ratification of an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and it went ahead anyway. What is absolutely clear is that Congress put a deadline of 1979 on this thing, and then they extended it out to 1982. And it's now nearly 40 years later. And they're trying to say that that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what legislature may have changed their mind or anything about this. If we can get the votes 40 years later, we're going to go ahead and we're going to say Virginia is the 38th state and therefore this thing is done. And so that's what's now going on. That now that the state of Virginia has been taken over by leftists and they've decided to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, so Congress is rescinding the deadline to allow them to get away with it. And this is beyond a bad idea, because no less than the Supreme Court said 40 years ago that this game is over. And I'm going to take us back to let's go back to the 1980s when they extended the deadline. Washington Post headline from 1981. U.S. judges ruling in Idaho may be fatal blow for ERA. Here's the article. The Equal Rights Amendment suffered a potentially fatal blow yesterday when a federal judge ruled that Congress acted unlawfully when it extended the deadline for ratification 3 years ago, and that states could rescind their ratifying votes. See, what happened was, the state of Idaho ended up in court trying to claim that indeed it can rescind its ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment, and a federal judge went along with it. He said, yes, we're going to say that a state can rescind, and also that the Congress, which gave an original deadline of 1979, did not have the ability to extend it after the fact, while the voting was still going on. So, the article continues, the decision on extension, if it survives the coming appeals, is sufficient to kill the ERA. Only 35 states, three short of the required 38, had approved the amendment by 1978 when Congress provided an extra 3 years for ratification. None has approved ERA since. Even if a higher court overrules the part of yesterday's decision by U.S. District Judge Marion Callister in Boise, Idaho, his ruling permitting states to reverse their prior ratification votes still could be lethal. And that's because you back it out by another five states, and there's just no way to get the thing to pass by 1982. And this was the whole thing. By 1982, this game was over. We know it was over because the Supreme Court said so at the time. What happened was that this case in Idaho made its way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, these controversies are moot. It doesn't matter what we decide on whether the date of expiration of ERA was 1979 or 1982. It doesn't matter what we decide on the question of whether a state can rescind its ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. Why? Because now the deadline's gone. It's over. Game over. Done. You got to start over if you want to start over. So we have a Supreme Court having explicitly stated that ERA is dead, and now Democrats are trying to bring it back to life. Not only do they want us to ignore the deadline, they want us to ignore the states that formally backed out of this deal. And things simply don't work that way. There's guidance from the Department of Justice, which says Congress may not revive a proposed amendment after a deadline for its ratification has expired. I mean, it sounds very simple. But of course, since that guidance was written in January of this year, I mean, obviously leftists want you to ignore what the DOJ says because it's William Barr's DOJ and it's Trump administration DOJ. But what they said was eminently reasonable from an impartial legal perspective. Congress has constitutional authority to impose a deadline for ratifying a proposed constitutional amendment. It exercised this authority when proposing the Equal Rights Amendment, and because three-fourths of the state legislatures did not ratify before the deadline that Congress imposed, the Equal Rights Amendment has failed of adoption and is no longer pending before the states. That's what the DOJ said, that what Virginia voted upon simply was a non-starter. They voted in favor of a non-entity. There's nothing there. It's over. It's a done deal. And again, the left wants you to ignore this because it's coming out of the Trump/William Barr Department of Justice. But you know who agrees with them? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, very left-wing judge on the United States Supreme Court. She was speaking at Georgetown University Law Center on Monday, and she said, the game's over. I would like to see a new beginning, she said. I'd like it to start over. And the reason why she said that is because, by law, the thing expired in 1982. It's done. If not now 1979, certainly 1982. She said that there's too much trouble here, both between the idea that five state legislatures have backed out and certainly the fact that the deadline is nearly 40 years overdue. And you got to understand, this has scandalized the left. This has the idea that Ruth Bader Ginsburg would say, I mean, she's a supporter of the ERA. She wanted to see it pass. She still wants to see it pass. And yet she is telling us that it's not legal anymore. It doesn't have validity. It doesn't have power. They are out of their minds, scandalized, that a judge would actually adjudicate the law. They expect her to be a left-wing partisan first, and a judge second, even though her job is to be a judge on the U.S. Supreme Court. It doesn't matter to them what the actual law is. They want her to play, dutifully play, the role of left-wing partisan. She wants to believe, she wants to see the ERA passed, then she should be ignoring the law in order to force it down the throats of the American people. That's literally what they're in favor of, because they've gone crazy over the idea that she would say such an audacious thing as, "I'd like it to start over." Now, when it comes down to it, of course, there are plenty of reasons why we should not want it to start over, or at least see it die immediately rather than go anywhere. The Equal Rights Amendment was bad law in 1972. It's actually desperately worse today. First of all, it was and remains unnecessary. Some of the biggest opponents to things like the Equal Rights Amendment in 1972 were people like Phyllis Schlafly, a woman who believes in women's rights and women's equality, who said the Constitution already supports that. The Supreme Court has already insisted that one may not discriminate against a person based on gender according to pre-existing law. The Equal Rights Amendment didn't add anything to actual women's equality. The whole thing's a misnomer. What it does, for example, is make abortion a fundamental right and force taxpayers to pay for it. Now, of course, if you try to discuss this with a leftist who's trying to get the ERA passed, they will deny that this is true. But if you ask the NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, they will absolutely tell you that once ERA is passed, there can be no pro-life legislation, that an abortion will be a fundamental right and taxpayers will pay for it. And in case you need to see this actually in action before you believe that this is true, go to the state of New Mexico. New Mexico passed its own ERA, and as a result of that, the New Mexico Supreme Court said, absolutely, all pro-life legislation in the state government at the state level was completely thrown out because, well, we passed the Equal Rights Amendment. This is a woman has total control over her body. So just the same way that we can't tell a man not to remove a boil from his foot, we can't tell a woman not to remove a fetus from her own body. It's unbelievable. And that is a direct result of the Equal Rights Amendment that they want you to pretend doesn't exist. They wouldn't want you to believe that that's not relevant and we should just pass this thing, only to find out, again, like the Frankenstein monster, that this thing is a whole lot more sinister than we were led to believe. There's another problem with this Equal Rights Amendment that certainly wasn't around in 1972. Actually, there are two things. First of all, since then, we've had state gender-specific aid programs come into existence, like the Women's Infants and Children Program, WIC, and the idea that funding should be given to a mother to take care of her child, that's sex specific. That's given to women and not to men. So therefore it's discriminatory. Under the ERA, the WIC program would go out the window. It would also make a lot of trouble for any church or synagogue that said that women and men are going to be treated differently. And any sort of program like a women's shelter that said we admit women and not men. And here's where this thing gets even worse today, in a way that it was impossible for them to have envisioned in 40 years ago in 1972. The states that passed this law back then had no idea that in 2020, people would be insisting that a woman has a right to claim to be a man, and a man has an equal right to claim to be a woman. The result of that means that passage of the ERA now, as compared to back then, would grant a gender biological male who claims to be a woman, he would have a constitutional right to be in women's restrooms and locker rooms and hospital rooms and prisons and women's shelters. This is something that in 1972, it was literally impossible that anybody could have imagined this, because in 1972, a man wearing a dress got locked up. And it was regarded, you know, obviously he's crazy. He needs to get help. Today, no. He's got a gender identity of his very own, and you have to respect that or you're a bigot. or you're phobic. You're afraid of it. I don't know where this whole fear idea comes from, because you're not afraid of something when you say, wait a minute, I can't pretend to be Chinese. I can't pretend to be 6 feet tall. I can't pretend to be a dog or a cat or a bison. But I can say that I'm a woman, and you have to respect that. I mean, it's just, well, welcome to the quote-unquote modern world. But passing the ERA now would make all of that happen. And, you know, there's real costs to this sort of thing that the left would like you not to think about. And there's another article which is very relevant to this piece of this. Connecticut girls sue to ban transgender athletes from high school sports. This is actually another piece of this puzzle, which is this ought to be major national news. People ought to be discussing this. People ought to be caring about this. Connecticut girls are suing. They are filing a lawsuit to get men out of high school sports, transgender men out of high school sports. Why? Because these women are losing. And that, and we think, oh, but that's, well, so what? They lost a sport? No, these are women who are, were hoping to get scholarships to go to college on an athletic scholarship and don't get the athletic scholarships because they were forced to compete against men. All of the things, all the steps forward that were made to ensure that women have the ability to compete in sports competitions, just like men do, are being thrown out the window because obviously a woman cannot be expected to compete against a person who grew up receiving all sorts of testosterone that were she to get it from a bottle, she'd be banned for life. You know, we think about that. This is completely unfair and completely ridiculous. This is a situation where whatever your position is on transgender, at the very least, you should admit that when it comes to a sports competition, a person who grew up as a male, whatever they call themselves today, cannot be competing against people who grew up against, as women, and we should expect that to be fair. It's not going to be fair. Because men grow up with a chemical cocktail in their bodies that we ban women for life if they try to get it out of a bottle, that's A. And B, it naturally gives men, you know, not just facial hair, it gives men the ability to run faster, run longer, jump higher, lift more weight, all of these things. And now we're telling women, you have to be willing to compete against that or you'll lose your scholarship. And of course, they're going to lose a scholarship because it's simply impossible. Here's the article. Three female high school runners in Connecticut have filed a federal lawsuit seeking to block transgender athletes from participating in girls' sports. The lawsuit, filed Wednesday by the conservative nonprofit group Alliance Defending Freedom, claims that the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference policy allows, quote, biological boys to beat them at track events and deprives them of possible scholarships. This is exactly the issue. I mean, there it is. The Equal Rights Amendment would force these girls to drop their suit. It would put them out of business. The ability to say, wait a minute, we can't be forced to compete against boys. Well, guess what? Tough. The Equal Rights Amendment says that anybody who is a woman, according to whatever definition we now use today of what a woman is, has all the same rights that a man does, and therefore, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So what was written in 1972 to mean one thing means something entirely different in 2020. And yet, once again, the left would have you pretend that the state ratifications that passed in the 1970s are still valid. Those who rescinded their ratification of the amendment, though that's not valid. And the deadline, that also is not valid. It's one craziness piled upon the next in order to build this construct that places a leftist agenda item ahead of the law, ahead of the Constitution, in fact, forcing it into the Constitution itself, which Even a committed leftist feminist judge like Ruth Bader Ginsburg says is completely inappropriate and wrong. This is an issue that is just getting way too little attention. And so here I would ask you a favor. If you liked today's podcast, please spread it around. Yeah, let other people know. This is a new podcast. We're getting it off the ground. I'd really appreciate if you would share with a friend. Hey, if you learned something in the last 20 minutes that you didn't know before, please show it to a friend. Let them know too. Let people be aware of what's going on in America and listen to the rabbi talk about America's moral heritage and what we can be doing better, because we'll be back with more shows soon. Thanks so much.